Hey everyone, it is time for our February group coaching call. Thanks so much for being on the line. I'm really excited to bring you an awesome speaker tonight. We're going to be doing a great interview with Rachel Cosgrove. Hopefully you guys have had a chance to check out Rachel's website and her business. She is the best-selling author of The Female Body Breakthrough, as well as one of the, you know, a top female fat loss expert, as well as the owner of Results Fitness in California, which was named one of Men's Health top 10 gyms in the country. Rachel, are you there?
I'm here.
Hey, thanks so much for being here.
Well, thank you for having me on.
Absolutely. We were super excited to have you, and we have some great questions for you tonight, and I know that the ladies are ready. So if you're ready, we'll just get right into it.
Let's do it.
Okay, great. So for Rachel, for people who might not know you on the call, most of the people on the call are in the fitness industry, so I'm sure that they do. But if they don't know you or your background as much, can you give us a little bit of background on yourself? Like, how did you get into the fitness industry, and like, how did you kind of begin with the whole process?
Sure. Well, getting into the fitness industry kind of takes me back to when I first got into working out, which really started, my dad took me to the gym for the first time, and I used to be one of the women who would, you know, go and do the cardio mm-hmm. and lift the light weights for lots of repetitions mm-hmm. and never saw my body really quite change. But I always had this fascination with, you know, really how to reach that, your potential physically mm-hmm. And mentally. And, you know, really always, you know, wanted to learn more and more about the human body and about how to, you know, really maximize that. I also was a dancer, so I would, had my dance background. So that kind of, you know, with the dance background and never really having that, you know, long, lean legs mm-hmm. and dancer's body, I always was chasing that ideal. And really, you know, it started with, you know, learning with myself what worked, what didn't, you know, tried all the different, you know, read different books, mm-hmm. different diets, different training programs, and then decided to get my degree in physiology mm-hmm. at University of California in Santa Barbara. And studied there for 4 years, and I got my degree in physiology. And, you know, from there, really realized that although my degree, I learned a lot, I was just beginning to learn, you know, what works. And mm-hmm. So then I started, I actually moved to New York City at that point. And cool. That's actually when I met my husband, Alan Cosgrove. Mm-hmm. And meeting him, he kind of opened my eyes to this whole other world of fitness, and that, you know, really I didn't know everything I needed to know yet, even though I had my certification and mm-hmm. I had my degree. And at that point, you know, I had my first, you know, couple of female clients that I was taking around their circuit of machines and, you know, telling mm-hmm. them, yeah. you know, what, where to put the pin and all that good stuff. but that, you know, he basically, you know, opened my eyes to this, you know, going to seminars, reading books, really starting to, you know, get that thirst for knowledge and starting to, mm-hmm. Really, you know, really learn how to train people properly, write a scientific training program, read the research, read the books, you know, go to seminars, mm-hmm. learn from experts, and really seek out the best in the fitness industry and really turn this into a career, you know, and really right. Go after being the best at it. So he and I ended up moving back to California, and like you mentioned, we ended up opening up our gym. We've now been open for 12 years.
Wow.
So over that time, it's just really been, you know, between working, you know, using the different things I've learned over the years on myself and then on my clients, and really just, you know, over the years, working to be the best at what I do and learning right. from anybody I can learn from and seeking out the experts.
So. Right. I think that's such a good point that you make about continuing education or just like learning beyond, not just kind of sitting on your laurels and, you know, kind of just assuming you know what you know and that's good enough, always kind of, and I think that's what, you know, kind of attracted me to working with you. And then for the women that are on the call, a lot of them have that thirst for more. They're kind of, you know, a lot of them are working trainers or they're in the fitness industry or interested in getting in that and wanting like a leg up, not just to have the certifications. Almost everyone already does. They just want to know what that kind of next, get that edge, you know what I mean? Kind of know what that next thing is. And so I'm glad that you brought that up. So what are you kind of doing now? Then it's, you have your gym open for 12 years. Where do your kind of priorities, like, well, how do you kind of spend your day? You're training still, are you working mostly on the business end? Tell me about what you're doing.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's a number of different things going on. We have the gym. So yes, I do still, We actually have a manager who runs the gym at this point. So we've set the gym up. You know, it started as just my husband and I as trainers when mm-hmm. we opened the gym, the two of us. And, you know, really over the last 12 years, we've developed systems and built the business. So at this point, we don't have to be there. Mm-hmm. And that's the great thing is yeah. we do have a manager in place. We have trainers in place. We have our systems in place. And I also know that anybody who walks into my gym, they're going to get the exact same service, the you know, as good of a training program yeah. as they would get if I were working with them in person. And so at this point, yeah, we work as a team, and it, you know, it's really a really great environment, and I actually love being at the gym. So mm-hmm. I'm there quite a bit, just you know, hanging out, talking to the clients, learning from the clients, working with our team, and just really pulling out the best in them, and really you know, being a mm-hmm. leader for them, and helping to keep you know everybody, all of them learning and growing right. and getting better in our industry. So. So I do spend, you know, part of my time at the gym working with them. In addition, because the gym does run itself and I don't have to be there, I've been able to take on other opportunities, including writing a couple books. Mm-hmm. Like you mentioned, I have The Female Body Breakthrough, and then I actually just finished my second book. So yes. that's going to be out in January
2013. Very cool.
So I do spend a lot of time writing. We call the gym research and development. That's kind of where I go and, you know, talk to clients and gather my ideas. Mm-hmm. And then I, you know, go back to the office and, you know, write programs, and then I might go use them on clients at the gym and see how, you know, what's working, what's not working. And, so it's really, you know, research and development. And then the rest of my time I spend, you know, whether it's writing for, I have a column in Women's Health Magazine, mm-hmm. a column on Huffington Post. And then I also work as a consultant with Nike, and I do quite a bit with Nike and Nike running at this point.
Very cool.
So, yeah, so that's a lot of fun. And then on the other end of it, my husband and I have started to work with trainers. Basically, anytime, you know, kind of a lesson in business is anytime there's a demand, anytime you see something that, you know, people are asking you for, and they ask you, you know, if whether it's your clients or, you know, whoever is mm-hmm. asking you, you know, hey, can you help me with this? Hey, can you help me with this? And that's kind of what we were seeing is a lot of trainers in the industry who, you know, couldn't figure out the business aspect of it. You know, we're kind of, you know, running the hamster wheel of, you know, training their clients, and, you know, really burning out and, mm-hmm. couldn't, you know, basically ready to get out unless yep. they can figure this out. And so coming to us, you know, to find out, you know, if we could help them. And so at this point, we've, for the last probably 3 to 4 years, we've started to do business coaching with trainers. And that's just been a lot of fun, you know, because we get to work with them where mm-hmm. they where we were 12 years ago mm-hmm. and you know help fast track that. So
right. That's very yeah, so cool. I mean, that's kind of the only thing that I've ever seen in the fitness industry that's really working on the business aspect, and what you guys do is so awesome. I mean, you put out so much free information and just really good stuff, really good content, and I'm sure a lot of people on the call have read a lot of that stuff, and I think it's just a really awesome service and kind of different, which kind of leads me to my next question, which is, you mentioned that, you know, if there's a demand that you kind of want to be there to kind of fill it. And the question was, did you have, obviously you've taken your career to the next level. Was there a moment of like definition where you just decided consciously to like kind of go for it? Or, you know, was it kind of more of a passive thing? Like you guys were running the gym and it kind of just grew, or did you, you know what I mean? Did you get lucky, or was there a moment in time where you were like, let's do this, let's go for it?
Well, I would say, you know, when we set up our gym, we were completely naive. We knew nothing about running a business.
Uh-huh.
So,
yeah.
But at that point, we had, you know, working yeah, after meeting Alan, both of us had really kind of pushed each other, always, you know, learning, seeking out more knowledge when it came to training. Mm-hmm. So at that point, we were, you know, really felt like, you know, we knew what we were doing when it came to the training aspect of
right.
it. We could get people in shape. We knew what, you know, we knew how to help people. And so when we opened the business, it was kind of that attitude of, all right, well, we know our stuff.
Yep.
All right, let's go. You know, it doesn't work that way.
Right.
Because you do have to learn how to run a business. And so that's where, you know, we kind of shifted gears, and our bookshelf quickly went from all training books to, you know, all business books.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, at this point, I think it's actually more business books
right.
than it is training books. And, you know, so we kind of just shifted gears. I would say that it's constantly looking for a solution to a problem. You know, like if you don't know, like if your business isn't running, then what's the solution to the problem? There's a solution out there. There's a book out there. There's a person out there. There's an expert. There's somewhere that, you know, is going to provide the solution to your problem. And so we're just constantly seeking, you know, those solutions to our problems, and looking for ways that we can, you know, never afraid to change.
Mm-hmm.
And when we would learn something, it's like, okay, how fast can we implement this and change, you know, and not
right.
be afraid of that? Because, you know, that's something that I see holds a lot of people back, is that fear of change, and you know, they've done something the same way for so long, and even though it's not working, it's like
they're trying to make it work
different,
right? They just keep trying to make it work. Yeah,
right, like keep banging your head against the wall,
right?
It's still gonna hurt. So yes, I guess, you know, that, you know, embracing change and just really, you know, seeking out, you know, the solutions to problems and learning, and we continue to keep, you know, learning and staying ahead. And, you know, we've, at this point, you know, one of our core values is to keep leading. And so, you know, we want to, in the industry, continue to be ahead of everybody. And that's part of, you know, I guess that quest for knowledge would be. So when you say a moment, I think, you know, over the 12 years, it's kind of been, you know, ongoing.
Mm-hmm.
There were a few, you know, defining moments, you know, like in business, you know, there was a moment where we had hired our first trainer. And mm-hmm. For any of you who have your first employee or first person that's working for you, you know, we were paying her way too well, and we were basically like barely making it. You know, we were kind of like there at the gym from early morning till late at night and trying to figure out how to make ends meet. And she drove up in her brand new Escalade.
Wow.
Yeah. We were sharing a Dodge Shadow at the time. We were, you know, both, you know, old that my parents had mm-hmm. given us. And, so, you know, she drove up in her brand new car, and we walked out, and she was showing us the sound system. And, you know,
you're like, something's wrong like, with this picture.
Yeah. One of those moments where you're like, you know what? And that's when I, you know, really we started to really learn a lot about business. It was like, okay, we got to learn how to, like, this is not working.
Right.
Something's not right. So, you know, the moments like that, you know, that I can remember. And then there was one other, you know, as far as training females and, you know, going in that direction, Thomas Plummer, who's been very influential on us with our business. He was one of the people that we seeked out at that point to learn from.
Mm-hmm.
And he one time said to me, you know, pick one thing and be the absolute best at it.
Right.
And you'll never be short of income. And when he said that, I was like, huh, you know, because I think as trainers, a lot of times
we can train everyone.
Right. And you're trying to make money. You're trying to, you know, it's like, oh, sure, I can train the athletes, and I can train the mm-hmm. housewives, and mm-hmm. I can train the men, and I can, you know, I can do it all. And mm-hmm. maybe you can, but, you know, pick one and really go after it and be the absolute best at one thing.
Mm-hmm.
And when I kind of made that decision in my head of, okay, I'm going to be the best at training females. I'm going to know everything there is to know about, you know, training a female client. I've already been training female clients for, you know, X amount of years and learned from every single client that I've been working with. And it was at that point that really my career started to, you know, take a whole nother direction with getting my book deal, getting Women's Health, you know, so really getting focused. And, you know, anything I read, every seminar I went to, anybody I talked to, my goal was to learn something that was going to make me the expert at training females. And so, you know, that's kind of, that was a definitely defining moment. So I'd say, you know, definitely pick one thing and be the best at it.
Right. And just get clear. That's great.
Yep.
That's definitely a great hint. So like you mentioned that, you know, you guys have a successful business that you're running, and it doesn't need you guys to be physically there, which I think is kind of like the holy grail in terms of, you know, being in the fitness industry and being a full-time trainer, you know, to be able to make money while you sleep. So, you know, how would you advise, like, a lot of the women on the call are full-time trainers, or they work in, you know, in fitness full-time. What's, like, you know, the first step for a trainer who wants to learn how to leverage their time better, like, instead of just doing time for money all of the time? Like, what's kind of the first step into getting into that type of business?
Well, you said the key word, which is leverage.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really like, once you learn to leverage your time, I can't think about doing something unless I can leverage it like at least three ways.
Right.
It's like, I'm like, okay, if I'm going to train this client, then I'm going to make sure that I, you know, I'm going to write an article about it. I'm going to, you know, like,
right.
There's got to be three different things I can get out of this one thing. And so, so just really starting to, you know, realize, you know, time is the one non-renewable resource we have, and that you really do have to make sure your time is used effectively. You know, one thing is to really think through the, you know, are there things that you could hire somebody for?
Right.
You know, pay them, you know, $10 to $12 an hour, $10 to $15 an hour even, that would free you up to allow you to do, you know, what you're valuable at, what you make, you know, more money at.
Right.
I think a lot of times, you know, we get caught up in doing the busy work. You know, you feel like you've been busy all day doing stuff, but like really,
you've just been answering emails or something. Yeah.
Right. Right. So, yeah, exactly. So that's, you know, really, instead of, you know, doing the busy work, can you hand some of that busy work off and really get yourself into, you know, your, what's called your sweet spot, you know, and we all have a sweet spot when it comes to our business and our, you know, what we do. And you really, if your sweet spot is standing in front of the client training them, then that's the last thing you should probably delegate, you
mm-hmm.
know, what I see a mistake a lot of people make is that maybe they hire another trainer or they give up training and they go, you know, start, maybe they're online or they're doing stuff that, mm-hmm. you know, maybe it isn't their sweet spot. So mm-hmm. really thinking through, what is my sweet spot? What is, you know, what am I really good at, and where, you know, where do I belong, and am I most valuable in my business? And then everything else, you know, start to look for people to take over those other jobs.
Right.
And that's, you know, really learning delegation and then learning to leverage your time. One thing is, you know, definitely if you are training clients, absolutely, if you don't currently do it, you have to do semi-private training. At this point, our gym is completely semi-private training. We no longer do private one-on-one training, and that's a great way to leverage your time, and it also is extremely effective for your clients. You know, and you can actually decrease their price a little bit. Basically, you can see 3 people an hour. That's what we do. We see 3 people an hour. Each person still gets their own individualized program. So they still get everything that one-on-one training provides. Mm-hmm. It's still the same benefits, but now you're making 3 times the money. And mm-hmm. you know, if one of them cancels, it doesn't mean that hour now you make nothing.
Right.
So it really, you know, that's been a huge, you know, in our business. We started off as one-on-one trainers, and over the years, that's been one thing that really leveraged our time and allowed us to take on a lot more clients and, you know, increase our income. And we saw better results for our clients because they really had that supportive environment. So,
and so one of the questions is, in terms of that, like a lot of them are full-time on the call are full-time trainers one-on-one. So how would you talk to a client about trying to combine their workouts with other people they're used to getting your full attention? And I totally agree with you. We actually moved to the system at my studio too. We went from one-on-ones to groups, but how would you talk to, like advise these guys to talk to their clients to get them to do group workouts?
So it goes back to, I said, embrace change and don't be afraid of change. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. A lot of times, the only reason your clients are one-on-one is because that's what you taught them.
Right.
That they were supposed to do. Like most of, you know, most of our clients, you're their first trainer. I mean, some of them have had trainers in the past, but they, you know, all they want is to get in shape, and they came in to hire you and you told them that this is one-on-one.
Right.
Know? So, I mean, the great way to go about it is, you know, a good script is, you know, I was listening to a seminar, I was doing some professional development, you know, I'm really excited about, you know, building my business and, you know, really being the best at what I do. I mean, you're telling your clients this and really mm-hmm. make them a part of it.
Mm-hmm.
If they feel like they're a part of your growth and your, you know, this is your career. This isn't just you're a trainer on the side, you know, while you're mm-hmm. waiting for your real job. This is what you do. And they start, you know, they realize that they're a part of that and that, you know, hey, you know, I was listening to a seminar, I've been reading a lot of books, and I've been really thinking about how I can leverage my time. And one of the ways that, you know, I've realized is I'm going to be switching my training to semi-private, and you'll still get the same individualized programming. But the cool thing is I'm going to be able to decrease your prices mm-hmm. and, you know, basically you're going to get a deal. And, you know, if you have any friends that want to join us in the hour, now I'm going to be seeing up to 3 people each hour. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to be able to leverage my time. You guys are going to have a great time because there's going to be 3 of you here in this hour. And what's been shown in the research is that actually if you work in groups, you get better results.
Oh.
So that's why, and it is in the research, because that's why Weight Watchers does so well, because
they have that
groups.
Group support,
yeah,
stuff, that accountability.
Women, like that's, yeah, they feed off each other. So that's, I mean, it's really just about, you know, one, I think it's more the trainer's fear of
right.
bringing
them
it up
leaving.
And yeah. And the fear of change than it is. I mean, most people want to save money.
Yeah.
You know, and what you can do mm-hmm. is just say, would you mind, you know, trying it out for a month and, you know, let's see how it goes and see, you know, see how everything goes.
Right.
The other easier way to transition, if you're just absolutely terrified to, you know, talk to your clients, is, you know, basically from now on, do not sign up another client on private. So
right.
from now on, everybody you sign up is going to be semi-private. It's a much slower process, but so basically you keep all your current clients the way they are.
Mm-hmm.
They're all training with you one-on-one,
mm-hmm.
but that next new client that you take, if one of your clients doesn't renew and you have a spot open up, You take a new client, you explain to them, you know, hey, I know right now, you know, how I train people is in a semi-private environment, so it's up to 3 people per hour. Actually, right now, the time slot that you picked, you're going to be on your own, so, you know, you're going to get a little private training, but just so you know, I do semi-private, so probably going to have 2 or 3 other people slot in with us at some point. Oh, and by the way, if you have any friends that want to join in, let me know, right? Mm-hmm. Great opportunity for a referral. So that's a good way to do it too. Obviously it's a little slower but the cool thing with that is, you know, for those of you who are scared to switch, that's an easy transition. And then as you start to transition and you start to see how your time is leveraged doing semi-private training, you know, what'll happen is your other clients will probably, maybe they show up for their session and they get to see the tail end of a semi-private session.
Right.
Like, oh, that actually looks pretty cool. Or they have to change their schedule and you say, well, actually, you know, I don't have a semi-private that hour. So why don't you slot into that and just see if you like it?
Right. So kind of transition.
Pretty soon. Pretty soon you start to, you know, pull them over, you know, or when they're ready to renew, you know, hey, how about, you know, dropping your price and jumping into one of my semi-private groups?
Right.
Oh, okay. That sounds good. I'll try that out.
Very cool. You know? Yeah. And this is actually a good time. I actually, picked up your renowned book. It's 55 Mistakes. What is it? It's 55 Mistakes That We Made. What was it called?
It's 55 Fitness Business. It's 55 Strategies of Fitness Business Success. But it is, you're right.
I think you guys said it was like the 55 Mistakes we made or whatever.
Yeah. And that...
Yeah, and that book is
mistakes.
Yeah, that book is absolutely awesome. So anyone on the call, I would definitely recommend getting that book, and I'll be able to send you guys the website after this, because I know a couple of you guys are you know, on your own personal training as well as opening your own studios, so this would be a good time to check out that book. So highly recommend it. Next thing I wanted to ask you was, like you said, a lot of people on the call are full-time trainers, but they also have this are interested in kind of exploring the online fitness industry, whether it's through online programs or coaching or whatever, or even just starting their own blog. I mean, at the very kind of beginning of the online stuff, how do you, like, what advice would you give to them? I mean, you know how it is being a full-time trainee. You get home at like 9 o'clock at night and you just like, are like, no one talk to me, please. I'm so exhausted. So how do you go about managing your time or managing your energy to have the motivation to start on that process? Obviously you need to set aside time to do it. How do you recommend that?
Well, I think, like you mentioned, you know, a blog is probably the easiest, to get started. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously everybody should have a website. But, you know, and then a blog, a lot of times if your blog is on your website, that's the best, so that you can funnel them to your website.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a good way to start. And really just, and everybody should also have on their website a place where people can put their name and their email address, mm-hmm. so you can start to build a list of people. And that's the easy way to get started, you know, is really just get that capture on your website. And, you know, then as far as the blogging goes, you know, I think when it goes... cool thing about blogging is that you'll become a better writer. And, you know, if you mm-hmm. want to become, people always ask me, like, how do I learn to write, or how can I become a better writer? The easiest way is to write. And so even if you're not blogging to share it with everybody, even if you're just blogging for yourself,
mm-hmm.
You know, just if 3 times a week, you know, you put it on your calendar to just, you know, write for, and, you know, there was actually a book called The Artist's Way that talks about morning pages, and it's really like that stream of consciousness writing, like mm-hmm. just, you know, wake up in the morning and just write, you
mm-hmm.
know. And a lot of times, you know, you should always, always, always carry a notepad with you, especially when you're training your clients, because they ask some of the best questions.
Mm-hmm.
And jot down, you know, anything that they ask you or that pops in your head that you're like, oh, that would be a great topic. You know, there's tons of stuff that you can blog
right.
about and write about. And those are the great things, so those little nuggets that, you know, just jot them down on a notepad. Always have a notepad with you. And if you have that notepad, now you're going to have more ideas than you can keep up with. And so if you set it yourself, you know, even if it's a half hour, 3 times a week,
mm-hmm.
you'll find that when you sit down for a half hour and start writing, it's amazing how much you can get done. And just, you know, start, you know, it's just like you're talking to a client. And one of the keys is make sure, you know, you're talking to your client, you're not talking to your peers.
Right.
And I see that mistake happen a lot is, you know, fitness trainers or people in the industry think they always are worried of what other people mm-hmm. are going to think, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's like, no, you know, write for, I mean, really Adam Campbell, who's the editor at Men's Health, he says, you know, write for a 4-year-old, like,
oh,
you know,
cool. write for,
like, make it very, you know, if you're going to talk about metabolism, you need to explain what metabolism is. Cause I don't understand what you know what I mean? Like mm-hmm. it needs to be really simple. So, mm-hmm. You know, and just start writing. And that's the key is, so if, I mean, really a blog, a lot of times, blog posts, you know, turn into a Facebook post, turn in, I mean, that's a great way to leverage it is, you know, everything you're doing. And a lot of the stuff in my book, The Female Body Breakthrough, was mm-hmm. a mixture of blogs that I had written, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, wait, I wrote a blog about this.
Right.
Where's that, you know? There it is. All right. You know, of course I, you know, changed it some, but mm-hmm. a lot of it, you know, started as a blog. And so, that's a great place to start. And, really it's just about setting aside, you know, that time. And I, for me, the morning is the best time to do it. I know a lot of people start with clients really early, you know, so maybe you train. The other time that's great to do it is maybe after you finish, you know, maybe you train clients from 5:30 till 10 a.m., maybe right then at 10 a.m., you write for a half an hour before you do your own workout or, you know,
right
after your first batch of clients. And you probably have a ton of ideas right after that first batch of clients too.
Right.
So that might be a good time to just, it's really just about sitting down and forcing yourself to do it.
Yeah, I think it's really important what you said about stream of consciousness writing, because I think that a lot of times people who are new to blogging, and this certainly was my experience, was feeling two things. One, like you said, is this good enough for my peers? Like, will I be respected if I put this out, or, you know, or people think I'm a fraud? Or, and the second thing is this good enough? Like, who would read this? And so you recommend just sitting down and writing more stream of consciousness and not so much worrying about, is this good at every turn, you know? Is that what
right.
kind of, okay, so just get started.
Get started, yeah, and it doesn't, maybe you don't post it on a blog so that all the world can see
you're right,
maybe
right.
it's on a Word document, you know?
Right.
But you're going to find,
but
when
just
you start
practice.
Doing that, yeah, when you start doing that, you end up with really, you know, good stuff that you can copy and paste into your blog and post it to the world, so.
Awesome, awesome. Very cool, so. Definitely, I think you hit on the next question, which was just what's one thing that trainers can do today that will not overwhelm them? And sounds like just scheduling in that time. So obviously, you know, there's a little bit of downtime between clients, just kind of scheduling in, which brings me to my next question, which is take us through kind of a typical day for you in terms of like, you know, I think you kind of already did, but how have you kind of created your life to be the way you want it to be, going from a full-time trainer to what you're kind of doing now?
Well, my days kind of are different every day, but mm-hmm. I'll tell you a little bit about my strategy. There's a guy named Wayne Cotton who has a system of time management where you basically color code your month
mm-hmm.
or your week or your days. And he has mellow yellow time, so you make sure you got your mellow yellow time. And actually, I first heard about this from Todd Durkin. He
mm-hmm.
talked about it. Mellow yellow time. So Al and I actually cross a whole week off every month that we're mellow yellow.
Cool.
And there's no appointments, there's no phone calls, there's nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, a lot of times that's taken, you know, maybe we'll just hang out in the backyard and pretend like we're on vacation or we'll go on vacation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but so, and then other times that is just kind of like a catch up week.
Right.
You know, if the month has just been kind of crazy, it's like, okay, just, you know, breathe and catch up. So that's crossed off every month already for the next year
mm-hmm.
of my life. And that's like, my assistant knows, do not touch that week.
Very cool.
Not schedule anything on that week. So, you know, that, and that's kind of going to the extreme because at this point I can do that for a whole week. But for a lot of you, just if you have one day a week that you make your mellow yellow week day,
mm-hmm.
you know, that's huge.
Mm-hmm.
Just,
or one a month. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You don't try to mix it up into, you know, problem is everybody tries to pile everything on top of each other and do everything at all times.
Mm-hmm.
So then that gets into, you know, the other colors he has is your green machine time. So that's like I was talking about. What is your sweet spot? What is your green machine? What is your, you know, where are you most valuable? And that's, you know, if it's training clients, that's your green machine time. That's when you're making money.
Mm-hmm.
And that's an important time. You want to make sure you have that green time, you know, obviously. We got blue sky time, which is visionary time.
Mm-hmm.
And the cool thing is like your blue sky time a lot of times can, you know, be in your mellow yellow time.
Right.
You know, those can kind of go together and, yellow and blue make green. So that's
makes sense.
And then red tape, which is, you know, basically your administrative stuff, anything that you weren't able to delegate. Maybe it is your writing, you know, sitting down and writing for a half hour, that might be considered your red tape. You know, basically anything that you're kind of sitting down on the computer and, you know, stuff you got to get done,
mm-hmm.
you know, paying the bills, anything like that.
Right.
So, and then basically kind of going through your week and, you know, going, okay, where, you know, where's my red tape time? Where's my green machine time? Where's my blue time? Where's my yellow time?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, making sure you set aside that yellow time for yourself. And the problem is if you try to do all of these at once, so if you're like, well, I'm going to take Sunday off, but I'm going to, you know, be working on my website and, you know, also I'm going to just train a couple clients in the morning.
Right. And it's then, not.
Well, all colors together equal brown, and we all know what brown is.
Right.
So that's the whole idea. So Wayne Cotton, it's like cottonsystems.com, I think.
Okay.
But, that's his system is, you know, it's basically a way of, and so that's one way that I've used to really, you know, kind of look at the month, look at the year and go, okay, make sure I take my downtime. Because really, I think for a lot of people, if you know, you don't realize it, but if you don't take that time to reboot,
right,
you're going to be, you know, you're not going to be, it's just like working out. If you don't take the time to recover, you know, you don't get anything out of your workout. And it's the same thing with your time management. You got to take that time to reboot in order to really be able to give 100% when you are in your, you know, green time.
Right.
So,
well, I love that because actually, obviously, we're talking about productivity this month in the group, and that's what we want to talk about with you tonight. And we are reading the book, The Powerful Engagement, by Tony Schwartz, and it's all about the same kind of stuff, this kind of oscillation in energy management, like where you have times of very intense focus followed by downtime. So I think that's right in line with kind of what we're talking about. That's awesome that that's worked for you. And I think for full-time trainers, that's super important too, or else you're kind of just an autopilot, like training your client at all times. You know what I mean? So
one thing I would say, like if there's one thing you can do, everybody does need to think about the bigger picture, like where are you going?
Right.
And, you know, I know you and I have had that conversation of what, you know, where are you going?
Right.
Because I think a lot of times trainers are just
grind.
You know, yeah, you're in the grind.
Right.
You know, your head's
can't
down
see out of it.
Just, you know, yeah, doing one client after another, and so just stop and take a half hour to, you know, maybe get out, you know, get out of your normal environment. Maybe go to a Starbucks or go somewhere where you feel like you can, you just kind of, you know, think clearly. And decide, where do I want to be in 5 years? Where do I want to be in 3 years?
Mm-hmm.
You know, where do I want to be next year?
Right.
And really, you know, figure out what does an ideal day look for you? And, you know, does it include online stuff? You know, do you want to be on the computer? You know, or does it include owning a gym? Do you want to own a business?
Right.
It's not for, neither of those things are for everybody.
Right.
Some of those things are for, you know, so just really thinking, because I think a lot of times trainers think, oh, well, this is the logical next step. Now I'm supposed to have an online
gym,
product, or now I'm supposed to open a gym, and not really thinking about, well, what do I want?
Right.
You know?
That's a huge key.
It's huge, yeah, because then, okay, now, back up, you know, what's the action step I need to take today? And there's one question I ask myself every single day, and that's, what action do I need to take today that'll have the biggest impact on me getting closer to my goals? What one action? And if you can narrow that down to one action, you know, and you ask yourself that question, it's like, okay, there's one, you know, or what one thing will, you know, get me close to get our business closer to where we want it to be.
Mm-hmm.
And you start thinking about that. Usually, you know, instead of starting your day with all your busy work, start your day with that one thing.
Right.
And just follow it through. And even if it takes you a week to get done, finish that one thing. You know,
because right,
the problem is we got too many loops open. Most, you know, most time people have just too many, like you open one loop, you open another loop, you know, nothing gets
right,
closed.
It's right,
like all these loops are open.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, okay, which one of these loops is going to have the biggest impact on me getting closer to that vision of what I want to create?
Right.
And pick it and then go after it till it's done and then pick another one.
Right.
And that's, that right there is like, will really change the way you look at your day.
Yeah, that's really great advice. And I mean, that kind of brings me to, you know, you're kind of where your career has gone, which is your second book. Congratulations. And I wanted to talk about how incredibly productive you've been on that. I caught a couple of Facebook posts about you, and correct me if I'm wrong, were writing 10,000 words a day on your book when you were kind of coming up on your deadline. Is that right?
I had one day where I wrote 10,000 words.
I was like, man, she's good.
Yeah, I did. I had one. I mean, and I would say I'm like, when people talk about, oh, be in balance, I'm not great at, like, I don't believe in really like balance.
You're like, just go.
I'm going in this direction. Look out. I'm going to write 10,000 words today. Cause that's what I found works for me.
Right.
Is, you know, if I
just
have a goal and
focus.
I, you know, and it's like other people will talk to me about things like, oh, you know, can, you know, like I had, you know, some figure competitors that were like, hey, I want to train, you know, we want to train for a figure show. I'm like, okay, I can't talk about that right now.
Right.
Like,
see me in a month.
Even though, like, I'll talk to you about it later. Like, I have, you know, like different things were coming up and I was like, sorry, like, don't talk to me. I'm, you know, so, you know, there is that like tunnel vision, like I said, pick one loop, you mm-hmm. know, and close it. And so, yeah, when I get into that zone of, you know, today, you know, the how, like, you know, the office is quiet. I don't, you know, nobody, everybody's leaving me alone and I'm going to, you know, just stand, you know,
kill it.
Get this done. Yeah. And it's really that focus.
That's awesome. And it sounds like based on your down times and that times that you take that like mellow yellow time, you're able to really have that intense focus. I think so much we're just doing everything at like a mediocre level. You know what I mean? We're not really high energy, but we're like also wired all the time too. We don't have those like extreme downtime. So it sounds like almost if you can have more of that downtime, then you get to have peaks where you're just like laser sharp focus. Right. That's very
cool. Which overall you end up being balanced, you know, because you end up, with, you know, a week where you're doing nothing and then a week where you're, you know, writing 10,000 words a day.
Right. That's cool. Yeah, that's amazing. Congratulations. The other thing is a lot of the women and, this happens with me all the time, is getting sucked in to social media. Like, it's, you feel like, oh, it's so important for my business and it's fun, you know, or whatever. And like, how do you manage email, social media, all of that stuff so that it doesn't end up owning you? You know, you don't blow like hours a day.
It does suck you in.
Right.
I've been guilty of being sucked in, or, you know, when I am writing my book, like, oh, I'll just go check Facebook.
Right. Hour later. Yeah.
Yeah. you know, we all get caught up. It's amazing because it's like, why am I on Facebook?
Right. It's a vortex. Yeah.
It is a great business tool, you know, so you do want to have that presence there and you do want to make sure, you know, that you do put stuff out there because that's where most of our clients are. That's where most of our, you know, the market is.
Right, right.
They're on Facebook.
Right.
They're on Twitter.
Yeah.
You know, that's where everybody is. So, you know, it's really, you know, again, having like on your, you know, kind of scheduled, you know, when do I do these things?
Right.
And really, I try to put up anywhere from 2 to 4 Facebook posts a day. You know,
it's pretty good.
Get 4. Yeah. They say you should do like 8, I think.
Wow.
Eight Twitter posts or something like that. But I, you know, I just, I try to jump in and, you know, if something hits my head, oh, this is, you know, this could be a good Facebook post, I'll jump in and post it up. And, and then usually like you basically want to think of it as kind of, like grouting your day, you know, like, mm-hmm. like in between things, you know, like,
mm-hmm.
and a lot of times I would set myself like, you know, with the 10,000 word day.
Yeah.
That day I was like, okay, I'm going to try and do 1,000 words an hour.
Mm-hmm.
And when I finish 1,000 words, whatever time is left over in that hour, I can go play on Facebook. I can.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good motivator.
Yeah, so kind of things like that, you know. So you kind of put it between projects, or you know, so it's not a distraction from what you're doing, but it's more of a break from what you're doing.
Right.
You know, for and it can actually be a good thing, you know, at that point. And then, you know, because you are doing it, is part of your business.
Right.
You know, don't get carried away of reading everybody else's things.
Right.
But part of social media is being social. So you do have to, you know, like other people's stuff and talk to other people, or they're not going to come talk to you. So it, you know, that is part of it. And so, you know, I think it's just really, whether it's, you know, 10 minutes throughout your day, every once in a while, you know, you kind of set it aside and, but you know, you do have to kind of, I do have a clock by my desk that I do set when I'm writing. Like I'll say, I'm going to write for an hour.
Right.
So nail the clock. And I would say if you get like a kitchen timer or something like that, that's a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
If you are doing a lot on your desk and working, that way it's like, okay, I'm going to keep writing until the clock goes off.
Right.
You know?
That's actually a really good tool. Yeah. I usually update Twitter at red lights. So that's like my, spot. So if I'm tweeting, it's usually at a red light. That's very cool. I think that's, you know, having it on your schedule, I'm glad you shared that. I think that so many of us can get kind of sucked into that. And then all of a sudden it's like 2 hours later and we're like, oh, we haven't started any new projects today or whatever. So
right.
I think that's
kind of you get into the loop of like, you know, check my email, check my Facebook, check my Twitter.
Yeah.
You know, it's
back
like you've
gotten
on this loop and then it's like your day's gone and you're like, what did I do today?
Oh, yeah. Okay. You feel productive yet you got nothing done. Yeah.
I got absolutely nothing done. The other thing I would say is with the emails, as soon as possible, try to hand off, like, you know, you shouldn't be too accessible. And that's something that I am big on is, you know, if you are going to charge for your time and you have clients that are paying for your time,
mm-hmm.
Don't, you can't give away your time for free. And so be careful, because it, you know, as you start to get out there and you start to put blogs up and you start to put, you know, books out and, you know, articles out, people think, oh, I'll just email her, right, and, you know, ask my question and ask, you know, how about this training program? Or how about that diet? Or why don't you write me a training program?
Right.
And,
right,
you know, you just can't give that away for free, because it's not fair to your paying customers.
Mm-hmm.
And so, it's just something to kind of keep in mind as, you know, you do grow your businesses, is make sure that, you do, you know, really make sure your time is used effectively. If you do still check your own email, then, you know, a little tip is to just answer it as if it's your assistant.
Right.
Answering it,
right.
And make up a name and, you know, use like your middle name and your, I don't know, your mom's maiden name or something.
Right.
And you know, come up with a little, pretend name, and that's your assistant. And then they know they don't have a direct line to you. Because as soon as they know they have a direct line to you and they can get you and they get any question answered, they are not going to pay you.
Right.
And again, it's just not fair to your paying clients.
Right. So. Absolutely. That's a great tip. And I think that we kind of always feel like, oh, I should answer, because, you know, then what do they'll think badly of me if I don't answer, or I don't help, you know what I mean? So I think it's good to get that from someone like you who's been successful in that way. And I agree, it's not fair to your paying clients. And so maybe just the practice of that, even if you're just using another name, that's great. It's a really good, really good trick.
Yeah, and then eventually hand it off to a real assistant, but yeah.
Right.
You know, that's...
So my next question is a little bit personal, but I did want to ask you, obviously you've been successful and you have a positive outlook. Do you have, you know, are you just like superhuman, or do you have times of, you know, times of doubt or insecurity or just like fear about, like, and how do you kind of deal with that if you do?
I mean, absolutely. Everybody has, mm-hmm, you know, times of fear, doubt, you know, oh my gosh, do I know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
You know, that's normal.
Am I fraud?
That's, you know,
yeah.
We all have that voice in our head that every once in a while creeps in. And it's really just, you know, I always remind myself who I'm talking to, you know, that, you know, I know more than my target audience. I know more than who I'm talking to.
Mm-hmm.
That's for a lot of women I see, you know, that the confidence level is the number one thing that holds most women back, mm-hmm, is fear and confidence. And so you've hit the nail on the head with this one, is really just, you know, if you can start to, you know, be able to control that and realize that when that little voice does pop in your head, you know, remind yourself you are the expert. You wouldn't be where you are if you weren't the,
mm-hmm,
expert.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that the people you're speaking to, you know, whether it's your clients or it's, you know, an audience that you're speaking to, you're there for a reason. And so you have something to share. And, you know, everybody has their own experiences, their own stories, and we all have come to different conclusions. And so, you know, throughout your journey, you've become, you know, an expert at what you do through your own journey and through your, you know, what you've learned.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if you don't share that with other people, you know, you're really, you're holding back and you're doing a disservice because you're letting that fear take over.
Right.
So I just always remind myself of that. You know, I really, you know, I always try to think of, like, instead of keeping the energy inside of me and, like, it sounds kind of a weird way to think of it, but, like, the energy inside of me, and you get that, you know, your heart beating fast, you're
right,
nervous, or you're, you know, doubting yourself or whatever it is, I always think about that energy going out to my clients or out to the audience or out to whoever I'm speaking to. You know, it's kind of like I'm putting it out on them,
right,
those nerves, and it's like, just... It's just for you guys, you know, and then, you know, you start to look for that, you know, like I call the breakthrough moment, or that, you know, and that's what I'm looking for. That's what I'm feeding off of.
Mm-hmm.
That's what really gives me that, you know, calm of, like, you know, I, like, this is what I'm meant to do.
Right.
And, you know, I would say I was one of those people that was extremely afraid of public speaking.
Okay.
I actually did, like, it was like, when I did my first figure show, it wasn't figure at the time, it was fitness.
Wow.
Have figured then. But it was
good for you. Yeah.
It was like Fitness America, and at the end, you know, you did your bikini thing, and then you did your dance, your, you know, all your stuff. But then they asked you a question on the spot. I was so nervous.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I can dance up here, I can be in a bikini, but make me talk. Oh my god.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, the first time I was just like so nervous, you know, and they asked me some question and I just was like fumbling over my words and I couldn't, you know, could not get, you,
mm-hmm,
know, what I wanted to say across.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, geez, you know, and so the next time I did it, I was like, okay, came up with a strategy. You know, I was like, all right, whatever, you know, the whole thing, I'm sure you've heard this, when they ask you a question, you repeat the question and it gives you a chance to, you know, basically think through what you want to say.
Right.
And so the interviewer said, you know, oh, well, you were a dance champion, and that was such a great accomplishment. How does doing fitness competitions compare to dance competitions? And so I end up going, well, yes, you know, being a dance competitor really is a great accomplishment. It really is a great accomplishment. You know, such a great accomplishment. I just could not. I look like such a, you know, like, wow, she really thinks she's great. So I could not, you know, like when you get a loop in your head of so, so nervous.
Oh, that's and, too funny. That's
super cute.
So that
was like my, you know, my, okay, I'm not meant to public speak. I just can't do this. This is not working. Mm. And I was determined to overcome that fear. It was like, you know, okay, you know what? I'm going to overcome this fear. And I had actually applied to speak at the International Society of Sports Nutrition. And I was extremely nervous because, of course, it was, you know, not only my peers, people who are researchers, you know,
right,
science people who, oh my gosh, you know, they know their stuff.
Right.
You know, here I am, you know, what am I thinking? But I'm going to overcome this fear of public speaking. So, you know, they asked me to speak and I had committed to it. And actually, that year, that Alan, my husband, is a cancer survivor, and that was actually the year, the second time his cancer had come back. And I had already committed to doing this talk, and my first, you know, big public speaking talk. And here, you know, here he was going through cancer treatment. He was actually at UCLA, staying there for weeks at a time, getting a stem cell transplant. And so I thought, all right, I'm off the hook. I don't have to do this public speaking thing. I, like, this is a pretty good excuse.
Right.
So, and, but of course, Alan did not let me get out of that. He was like, oh no, you're doing this. And I'm like, really? Okay, you're right. I should do this. So, I mean, I literally like left him at the hospital, got on a plane, went to Vegas, got up on stage and spoke. And it totally put things in perspective. You know, here I am, my husband's in the hospital fighting for his life. And it was like, what's the big deal? Like, get up on stage and tell these people what you know, and got up, told them what I know my stuff. I know what I do. I've been training clients forever. You know, I know it inside out. I'm not going to teach you. I'm not going to talk about anything I don't know inside now. You know, and that's the key is stick to what you know.
Right.
And, you know, got up there and it was a very practical talk, you know, because they were, a lot of them were researchers and it was really well received. And, you know, I had a great time.
Great.
I really enjoyed myself. Got back on a plane and went back, you know, it was just kind of like,
right back
what's
to
the big deal? And that, you know, I overcame my fear because I realized what's the big deal about getting up on stage? You know, in perspective at that moment in my life, it really was not a big deal. And so that was actually the first time that I spoke and, you know, they asked me to come back the next year. And then I, you know, now at this point I speak for Perform Better and quite a bit, you know, I've actually worked really hard to become a good, really good speaker. And, you know, I'm still learning, you know, different things I can do to become even better at speaking, because now I've realized that that's where I need to be to really share my message and to help more people. So,
right.
Yeah. So, you know, yeah. Do I have fears? Absolutely. I mean, that's.
so your advice would be like, name the fear, essentially, like public speaking, whatever it is, putting my stuff out there. I think a lot of us women, especially who are career driven, we have this whole, an article just came out, I think yesterday or 2 days ago, talking about how career-driven women tend to have this whole imposter syndrome going on, this, like, you know, feeling like I'm a fraud, someone's going to find me out, and what you're saying is find that thing, define it, and then go, and, like, really just go after it, like, instead of just kind of, like...
And just, you know, keep reminding yourself of, you know, that you know more than your audience, like, you know, I think... Like stick to what you know, that you know inside and out, and you can explain it. I mean, most of us are pretty confident talking to one of our clients.
Right.
You know, because we know that, you know, they're just learning about nutrition, they're just learning about fitness, and so we're the expert. And so, you know, we're okay in that situation. And so it's really just, you know, kind of taking that same situation and realizing, you know, you can help a lot more people if you're, you know, writing about it or you're, you know, and anything you have to share, it's your experience, it's your journey. It's, you know, nobody can really tell you, nobody can tell you it's wrong.
Right.
You know, if you stick to what you know and, you know, you're doing your best to be the expert at what you know, then, you know, there's no reason why you should put it out there because it's going to resonate with somebody. And if you don't put it out there, then that person who is going to, you know, have their life changed by your content is never going to, you know, never going to resonate
with
you. You were the one that, you know, had the information. So really you owe it, you know, to the people who need you.
Right. That's a very cool perspective. I think that's a very cool perspective. It kind of turns the whole thing on its head. And it's like, of course you need to put yourself out there. I love that.
Right.
That's very cool. Well, I have one more question for you. And it's kind of just to kind of sum up everything we've been talking about. But if you had one piece of advice that you would give women who, you know, maybe where you were 10 years ago, want to take their career to the next level or want to take their game to the next level, what would it be? One thing to do?
Well, I would say it's definitely, which it sounds like all of the women on this call already have this down because they've hired you, Jill. They know what they're doing. Is, you know, hire someone who's where you want to be and, you know, really find that person. You can speed this up, you know, so much faster by hiring a coach and, you know, really, you know, walking in their footsteps rather than trying to figure it out all on your own. Don't right. try to do this on your own. And that's, you know, the biggest thing is it's okay to ask for help and it's okay to have a coach. And you know, people that I, you know, Alan and I kind of look at, you know, as we've come through the industry, and that's one of our secrets is we've always had a coach. You know, we've always mm-hmm. had, you know, different people we've learned from and different, you know, it's, we aren't afraid to ask for help. And so that would be my number one piece of advice is, yeah, seek out the experts and ask for help and learn from them. And, you know, again, and, you know, don't be afraid to change.
Right. Very cool. I love that. That's awesome. Thank you so much, Rachel. We have a few minutes to take questions if you do. Do you have a couple minutes?
Sure.
Okay, great. So guys, if you want to ask a question, you can just type it in the chat section. And we'll wait a second for questions. This is awesome. I love this. Anyone? It's so funny. This a lot of the I was gonna say a lot of the stuff that we talked about was a lot of what I put out like a little mini ebook every month, and this is a lot of the same stuff that you and I had talked about, and that we're talking about this month and even last month about hiring someone. And I think it's so important to continue learning, and so it's really cool that you touched upon a lot of those things. It's just nice reinforcement. Well,
yeah, and I think a lot of, you know, a lot of women don't realize that other women are having the same challenges.
Right.
As they, or, you know, or that all of us are, you know, everybody has the same challenges, whether it's, you know, time management, it's, you know, overcoming your fears, having the confidence. I mean, these are all, you know, really, really huge issues for, you know, most women.
Yeah.
And barriers that are going to keep you from, you know, reaching your potential. So it's, yeah, these are awesome
right.
questions you had for me. Some tough questions.
I know. Well, hopefully, I hope that they are fun for you. But we do have one question so far. And Cara says, when starting your personal training business and going from chaos to documenting processes and creating systems, did that feel overwhelming? And how did you guys get started with your systems?
Okay. This is an easy way to think about systems. Systems are either going to be a checklist, a script, or a template.
Okay.
So write those three things down. And go through your business, pick one thing. Is it how you open your gym? And basically, what would that fall into? Okay, I want to write a system for how I open the, how you're going to open the gym.
A checklist.
That would probably fall into a checklist. Right. Yeah. So you're going to basically have a checklist. So create a checklist for how you're going to open the gym. You know, step one, put your key in the door. Step two, the lights. Step three, mm-hmm. right? So you're going to go mm-hmm. through the gym. And mm-hmm. you think I'm kidding when I say
no, but you need to. Yeah.
Put every detail on there because when you start to hire staff, it's good to have everything laid out exactly how you want it. Mm-hmm. So there you go. You got your first system in place. You know, okay, now let's look at how we train a client. You know, what's that going to be? How, you know, how would you go through creating a system for how you're going to train a client? First, let's start with the program that you want maybe another trainer to follow when they're going to train a client.
Mm-hmm.
That would be, I mean, we have a template in place. So we mm-hmm. have a program design template. So you're going to use this template. You know, you're going to choose a squat exercise for this, you know, exercise. You're going to, so that would be, you're going to create a template. Now you got another system in place. If you, you know, have a program template that mm-hmm. your new trainer is going to use. You know, how do you send an email to somebody? When you hire your assistant who's going to take over all your emails, you're going to come up with, you know, a script
right.
or a template, probably
right.
an email template that they're going to fill in.
Right.
How are you going to answer the phone? That's going to be a script. So you start to see that they fall into one of these three categories. And, you know, a good thing to do is just pick one thing in your business a week and write a system for it. Write either a checklist, a template, or a script. And mm-hmm. if each week you do one, you know, you're going to, I mean, pretty soon you're going to have, you know, your entire business systemized. And so that's, I mean, you go in our gym, it's like checklists everywhere.
Right,
like
right.
Checklist how to do this, checklist how to do that, script how to answer the phone, you know, template how to do this, and everything is, you know, very
systematic, right.
But kind of break it down. Don't, you know, it doesn't have to be overwhelming. I mean, yes, when we did it, you know, we didn't realize how to do it, but that's an easy way to kind of simplify it and don't make it complicated. You know, just pick one thing, systemize it, pick another thing, systemize it, and pretty soon you have your entire business systemized.
Right. That's very, I mean, super helpful. Thanks. And the next question is from Amanda. And she says, you talked about learning from your clients. What is one of the most valuable things you learned from one of them?
Wow.
of the thousands you've touched, yeah.
I know. It's been a long, lot of years of learning from my clients. I mean, you know, it's, but, you know, listen to your clients because they do, you know, when they do talk, when they do tell you things, I mean, every time, you know, you listen to a client, you realize it's, you know, it's, I would say like the number one thing is just putting myself in their position. Mm-hmm. Like that's the number one thing that right. I learned is, you know, like being in there because we forget, you know, and our right. clients are not us. And I think that's a huge, you know, part of communication with your clients is that we, you know, we're a different breed.
Right.
you know, even right. though those of us who even weren't in the gym our whole life, you know, we love being in the gym. We're comfortable in the gym. Where our clients, you know, they don't love exercise like we do. They right. don't love to do this. And so really listening to them gives me their perspective. And I'm always listening to, you know, to try and put myself into their shoes to understand, like, you know, one client one time said, like, in that very example, you know, I said something like, you know, oh, you know, feels so good to work out or something. She was like, what are you talking about?
Right. yeah. like, they're like, no, it doesn't.
It doesn't feel good to work out. Mm-hmm. You know, like how can that be? You know, and mm-hmm. It's always stuff like that that I'm like, wait a minute.
You're surprised.
What are you talking about? And so, you know, it's always those little things they'll say that I just kind of grab onto and go, wow, that's interesting. You know, I never really thought about that.
Right. And then that could be a blog or something.
Right.
Why
then,
we're
you know,
insane.
It turns
right.
into a whole new training. I mean,
right.
I mean, one lately, recently was I had a daughter and a mom who both joined our gym and the daughter started losing weight on the scale faster than the mom did. And of mm-hmm. course they were comparing mm-hmm. and you know, they were asking me how come she's losing weight on the scale and I'm not. And I go, well, are you you're losing body fat though. Cause she was losing body fat. Her clothes mm-hmm. were fitting better.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, how many diets have you done in your lifetime to the mom? She goes, oh, I've done every diet there is.
Right.
I've done, you know, the grapefruit diet. I've done, the, you know, everything. I've done it all.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, oh, okay. I'm like, and, you know, her daughter, this was the first time she'd ever done anything to change her body.
Right.
And she was doing it the right way. She was fueling her body. She was, you know, lifting weights. She was, you know, doing everything the right way. And so, you know, I just said, well, after a lifetime of dieting, how much muscle do you think you've lost?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it was one of those ahas for me because I was like, you know, wow, you know, this is actually, I kind of came up with my new philosophy of, you know what, we need to start asking our clients how many diets have they done in their lifetime. And those clients who come in and have done more diets over their lifetime, the scale is most likely not going to change.
Right.
Because they're going to gain back that muscle that they've lost, you know, every diet they've done.
Right.
And those clients never, the scale doesn't change. And they're also the clients who get the most frustrated when the scale doesn't change.
Right.
Because they're so used to scale changing with all these other diets they've
right.
done. You know, the other 10 diets I did, scale dropped. And of course, they're not coming to you until they're completely plateaued. Their body's not responding to those diets anymore.
Right.
Because they've lost so much muscle that their metabolism's in the gutter, right?
Mm-hmm.
So by the time we get them. So what I'm seeing is that these women are gaining muscle at a rate that's much faster than, you know, most men. It's like,
mm-hmm.
you know, I've seen them lose, you know, 2 jean sizes and the scale only go down like 2 to 4 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's these are the same women that are like, nothing's happening because the scale's not changing. And so it's just kind of
right.
one of those. I mean, that was a big aha for me, just listening to a client and, you know, talking to them and asking them these questions. And I'm like, hey, you know what? Like, we need to start asking this question to start. Then we can let our clients know, okay, you know what? Do not get on the scale. Like, you know, we try to get them to not do that anyway. But,
right.
You know, ahead of time, we can explain to them, you know, why that scale is probably not going to drop because they're going to gain that muscle. They're going to increase their metabolism.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and then like just today, one of the clients that's that similar situation, she comes up to me and she goes, so how high do you think I can get my metabolism? Because our body fat machine tells you like
mm-hmm.
your basal metabolic
yep.
rate, you know? And she goes,
yep.
the cool thing is that it's gone from 1400 to 1600, my basal metabolic rate. And I go, oh, that's great. She's like, so that's now her goal. Instead of weight loss, her goal is how high can she get, you know, her basal metabolic
mm-hmm.
rate. And I'm like, how cool is that, that you've totally switched, you know,
the mentality.
What you want.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I go, well, every pound of muscle you build, you're, you know, building that up. She's
yep.
like, oh, okay, cool. Go lift some weights.
That's so very cool.
But yeah, it's, you know, listen to your clients because they're sharing all kinds of, you know, stuff with you that you can learn from and really start to build your own philosophies from and start to share that with other people.
That's great. Awesome. And my last question is from Kate. And she says, what qualities do you think are most important in a trainer or and or someone starting a new business?
And or So in a trainer,
different,
say,
but a trainer starting a business.
You know, a trainer working with their clients is going to be communication and listening, like I was just talking about.
Right.
I think that's one of the most important, you know, aspects of being a trainer is being able to communicate with your clients, because it doesn't matter what you know if you can't communicate. And then for a trainer opening a business, you know, really learning how to run a business, learning how to market, learning, you know, that aspect of it. Don't be afraid of your numbers. You have to know how many members you signed up that month, how much money you brought in that, you know, every day.
Mm-hmm.
Really, we drive our business every single day. So start with the end point in mind. How much money do I want to make this month? And don't be afraid of money. We were very afraid of selling and money, and, you know, it was like, oh, we'll just, you know, help people and it'll be wonderful. But we started to realize, oh, wait a minute, you know, this doesn't happen magically. We have to make money, and we
right.
have to, you know, look at the numbers, and we have to, you know, so learning how to read a profit and loss statement, learning how to really drive your business by the numbers,
mm-hmm.
and not being afraid of that, that doesn't make you, you know, money hungry. That just makes you a smart business person
mm-hmm.
who is, you know, making sure that your business is going to be able to support itself so that you can help more people. So yeah, just getting familiar with, you know, the numbers is a big one. And most trainers are, they, you know, they,
not
they're
good
numbers
people. Nope.
Like, well, they, no, because they know, I bet every trainer can tell me their client's body fat percentage, that how much weight their client can lift, you know, what their client, you know, how much body fat they lost, like pounds of this, pounds of that, like numbers.
Mm-hmm.
They're just focused on the wrong number, you know, not the wrong,
not
numbers,
the wrong
but,
numbers, but
yeah, when you open your business, you got to basically, you know, take that same focus and apply it to your business. And okay, how much money's coming in? What's our gross income? What's our receivables at? You know, starting to look at some of these other numbers.
Right, which we're not, you know, not used to as a trainer. It's more just, you know, we know what we know,
right.
and leave that to the gym owner or whoever. So that's,
right.
you know, a great, and you had mentioned before Thomas Plummer, who you said that you kind of learned a lot from, and obviously you and Alan are doing business, this kind of business coaching. I came to your seminar last year and you guys threw the numbers at us, which was awesome. Are you doing Perform Better Tour this year? Just to kind of give you a little plug. Okay. So when are you guys, do you know where and when and all that good stuff, or a website
that
we can find it?
Definitely. I mean, go to performbetter.com, and I'm going to be at a couple of the one days and a couple of the summits. And then Alan and I are doing our 2-day business talk, which is the one you came to.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be in Rhode Island and we'll be in Los Angeles. So that's towards the end of the year. So if you go to Perform Better, it has, you'll see results, fitness, business seminars.
Mm-hmm.
Click on that, and that's where our business seminars are.
Very
but
cool.
I'll also be appearing at a few of the summits and a few of the one days as well. So yeah, they put on some great seminars. So definitely check them out.
Awesome. Yeah. I mean, I learned a ton, you know, and that was kind of the very beginning of my, like, you know, fitness business education last year was with your guys' seminar. And I definitely recommend it to these ladies as well. So anything else you would like to promote while you're on?
We do have our new website set up, which is resultsfitnessuniversity.com.
Cool.
So that's, if you go there and you get signed up on our list there, that's basically where we send out all of our updates and kind of what we're up to in on the business side of, you know, Results Fitness and
mm-hmm.
any seminars we have coming up. So yeah, resultsfitnessuniversity.com, and that's about it.
Perfect. We'll be on there. Thank you so much, Rachel. What I'm going to do is I'm going to get this audio for the ladies and for you. So I'll look for that email. And we just really appreciate your time, and I know that you're busy, so, you know, awesome answers, and we learned a lot tonight, so we really appreciate you being on, and everyone's chatting, thank you, so we will
thank
talk
you,
to you soon. Okay, thanks,
all
Rachel.
Right. Thanks so much.
Okay,
bye.